You are listening to the Obeka's Thoughts. This podcast has been brought to you by the Obeka Realty. My name is Adeola, and I am your host. My thoughts, your podcast. Welcome aboard. Hello, welcome to the Obeka's Thoughts. How are we doing today? Happy Friday to you all. And how does it feel to be in March already? I know, we were just in January saying Happy New Year. Well, we are already in March. Are you excited? Do you have plans? I think we have some holidays coming up shortly. I do hope you have great plans to enjoy them. In whatever you do, make sure you take care of yourself first. Okay? On today's episode, we are going to be talking about premarital counseling. It's not what you think, but I'll be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome. So, I will try and make this as chill as possible, but it's up to you. Remember, whatever you hear on this podcast, in whichever episode, the thoughts are entirely mine. I don't write them down. I think as I talk. So if you hear some glitches here and there, some repetition, it doesn't matter. I'm just thinking while I talk. I try to make sure this is as unscripted as it can be. You know, when you begin to script things, it doesn't seem original anymore. When you scribble down and then you're thinking about it, you're overthinking it, and then you're taking out the important part and replacing them with politically correct phrases. I don't want to do that. That's the reason why I just think as I speak. So, welcome. And on today's episode of premarital counseling, it's so surprising that I had never talked about this before as an episode. I don't know how I missed it, but as God would have it, here I am. So, a month ago, I had recorded, exactly today, a month ago, I had recorded one episode saying that asking questions as to why do pastors get divorced? They are supposed to be our, you know, spiritual leaders and provide guidance for us in many, many areas of our lives. And this is not just talking about pastors alone. I'm just talking about all spiritual leaders. Okay, so I hope it doesn't offend anybody, but hey, I'm thinking for you so that you don't have to do as much. All right, just to give you a little bit of context. So here we go. Let me sip my wine a little bit, because this one is going to require a lot of thinking. I'm going to keep it as a short episode, but hey, if I do not, you love me like that anyways. And I plan to record another episode of this with a couple of females that have had the opportunity of having premarital counseling at the church. They'll come back and share the experiences. But before I talk to them, these thoughts are mine, solely mine. Here we go. I was just in my house as usual. One of my baby girls called me, and she was asking me questions about premarital counseling in a church with a pastor. She said, what did I think about it? And she went ahead to tell me about one of her friends that had been in a relationship for about 5 years, and they were already planning a wedding. And for some reason, they went for a premarital counseling in the church. And at the end of the counseling session, the groom-to-be said he's no longer interested in marrying my baby girl's friend. And of course, the lady is confused about the whole situation, and she's sad, and his excuse was he does not think they are compatible. Okay, let me sip my wine again. Many, many episodes ago, I said, what you're looking for, you're going to find. This one is good. I'm drinking red wine. It's a Friday afternoon. Hello. Who's gonna tell? Okay, let's get serious right now. So, of course, the lady is distraught about the whole situation and she's wondering what's going on. And I was thinking, okay, if you've been in a relationship for 5 years, not unless you're really having problems. Yeah, don't get me wrong. We need therapy for different reasons, right? But there are certain things that there is no pressing need for unless you create the need for it. And I always say this thing a lot, but I'm going to say it again. Culture and religion will be the death of black people. Not just Africa as a continent, but black people in general. I would explain this thought of mine later, but let's just take it as I said it today. Culture and religion will be the death of black people. So, I'm black, by the way, before you decide to have an attitude and get all Karen on me. I'm a black Karen, so don't even go there. I'm kidding. I could be a black Karen if I wanted, but I don't want to. I like being my, you know, playful little Pisces me. So, let me get serious again. I was thinking, why did you go for a premarital counseling? Well, the question is, it's a common practice when you want to have a church wedding. Let me just pick a location this time around, Nigeria. There are some churches that will make it mandatory, and there are other churches that make it, you know, optional to have premarital counseling at church before you get married. Usually these sessions are often one session. It's always like a crash course. I think it's about an hour or two of a crash course of marriage or what have you. I feel, this is my own opinion, why would you go to a pastor or a religious leader for premarital counseling that they are not qualified to discuss, when you could have just gone to a real counselor that is schooled, educated, and experienced in talking about sensitive issues as such? But I'm sure they thought, oh, it's a premarital counseling at church, there's no big deal. This is my issue with religious leaders. They often forget that they are human, and they act like they're speaking for God all the time. I'm a Christian. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. In the sense that I talk to my God directly. I pray. I read the Bible. I do know that many people have issues with the Bible. That's their problem. The Bible works for me. But anyways, I pray and I read the Bible. I do not do things because the pastor asked me to do it. I do things because I think, okay, it's the right thing to do, right? So this couple goes for premarital counseling from an unqualified person that is supposed to be spiritual, meaning you're supposed to talk to God, hear from God, and find out if these two are compatible. Up to today, I do not know what specific questions was asked at the premarital counseling. So, I'm sure the church had probably, if I'm to take a wild guess, I would be guessing that the church made the premarital counseling compulsory at church. And this is my issue with religious leaders. They like to play God when they're not. They pick and choose the part of the Bible that works for them, that supports their argument. And oftentimes when they do that, they are projecting themselves or their marriages or their experiences on other people. Yes, it's normal for you to, like when I talk, a lot of times, I'm sure I'll tell you from my experience, it doesn't mean everyone is having the same experiences as me. But I always say, it's my experience, it doesn't have to be the same. You can pick the path that works for you, but just be cautious out there, you know? But this is something that Okay, so my apologies. All right. Back to what I was saying. Oftentimes, pastors will project their life experiences on other people when they're giving advice. It's common people do that, but pastors and religious leaders should be very, very careful. Especially, one thing I feel they should put into consideration is that their time is different. If someone's going to be your pastor, they're probably like 20, 30, 40 years older than you, right? Their time is different. Things has changed. We have learned new things over the past couple of years. Due to the pandemic, people have discovered a new side of them they never knew that they had in the first place, you know? So anything could bring about change in people. That's the reason why when we're giving advice, we should always remind them and say, "This happened during my time. Your time could have been different. Your time could have changed. Anything could have happened, between 20 years ago when I got married. In fact, between 5 years ago when I got married and now." So, back to this lady's story. Even if the church is making premarital counseling compulsory, you could have it done through a counselor. Let the counselor issue like a certificate for you to take to your church. If your church is not accepting of this certificate that is more qualified than whatever your pastor can say, I think you should change churches. It's my opinion. I don't feel in 2022 any church should be making anything mandatory for adults, because at the end of the day, you are going to be the one responsible for the outcome of all these decisions, right? And when we're even talking about, let me go to my pastor for advice. My husband is behaving this way, my wife is behaving that way. Let me go talk to my pastor about it. The truth is that your pastor may be going through a worse situation and you will not even know. But because you have now come to them with your problem, they don't have a choice than provide a solution that might even be more disastrous than the situation that brought about you visiting your pastor in the first place. Should I say that again? Your pastor is also human. Your pastor is also in a marriage. Sometimes, the best things pastors can say is, "I cannot talk to you right now. Let me pray before I give a response." But no, they always feel the urge to say something like right about now. In fact, even when they are listening to both sides of the story, they don't do it with a clear mind. They go, "The Bible says you should submit to your husband. The Bible says you should be obedient to your husband. The Bible says this, the Bible says this." What do you say as a person, as a human being, as a husband, as a father to a daughter, as a brother to a sister, as a son to a mother? What do you say? Yes, we know what the Bible said. We've all read it. Yes, we have different understanding of the Bible. True. But you, as a human being, this is a lady coming to you saying that my husband is hitting me. What do you say as a human being? Can you ever say something that the Bible didn't say? Can you ever think for yourself outside of the Bible? Because oftentimes people think, "Oh, I'm being guided by the Holy Spirit." No, you are not. If you're also beating your wife, Pastor Mrs., I'm sure the advice you're going to give this woman is, "Oh, yeah. The Bible says you cannot. One of the reasons Bible gave for divorce is not beating, because you're also beating your wife." Do you know how many pastors have girlfriends and side chicks? Do you know how many pastors have been through more than one marriage? Honestly, if you as a pastor have been through more than one marriage, you have nothing to tell me. Me, dear Becca. You have absolutely nothing to tell me that I'm going to regard, because I'm going to tell you that whatever it is you're selling is not working for you. You're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. So, not unless you're in a really, really bad situation where your spouse is physically harming you, you as a pastor should not be getting a divorce, because you were supposed to have been guided by the Holy Spirit at the point you got married. You should have been guided by the Holy Spirit throughout your marriage. So the question is, did the Holy Spirit tell you to get a divorce? In case you're wondering, did I have a premarital counseling before I got married? Nope. At least not in the church. Yes, I did hear people's experiences about marriage. Yes, I did watch some sessions here and there. But did I take myself to the mercy of anyone and tell me how to think? No, I did not. You don't know who people are outside of their offices. That's the reason why we need to be really, really careful when you're going to people to come to your help, to your aid. You don't know. I can mention a couple of pastors in that same Nigeria that have married more than once. And then the habit of making premarital counseling in church compulsory. I don't understand. Who qualified you for what you're about to tell me? Okay, perfect scenario now. It's just like you telling me that I have a headache right now. Maybe because of stress. I'm not sleeping well. I'm not drinking enough water. For whatever reason, I have a medical problem. I have a headache. I have a migraine that won't go away. And then I'm going to a pastor to get a cure instead of going to a doctor. That is what we are doing when we go to church for premarital counseling. I'm not saying that not all pastors are qualified. Apparently, these days, I've heard that some new pastors are getting certifications and degrees when it comes to counseling. I have often heard that recently. But majority of the people that call themselves pastors need counseling themselves. A lot of them are mentally unstable. They're narcissistic in nature. They're proud. They're mean. They just pick the part of Bible that works for them and suits their own wickedness, and they still go in front of the church and preach. You know why they can do that? Because to them, the church is a business. It is run as a business. It's seen as a source of income. It's not seen as a source of solace for people that are lost and trying to find their way. So if you find a pastor that understands that this is not a business, I am here to serve the people. Yes, you are lucky, you are blessed. But because we like all the display of lights, microphone sounds, we like this, we like the worship, we like the aesthetics in church, we often find ourselves in churches that are run as businesses. The church I love to go is in Nigeria. It's not a business. The church I attend here in America is a business, and I know it. So when I go there, I don't get lost in someone preaching a certain way or saying certain things and I hold it to my heart. No, I go there for the worship because, hey, I love the music. I love music as a person, right? I do listen to the preaching, but I pick the part that works for me and discard the rest of it. But that is me. Based on my experience, I have learned not to take people's words verbatim. But not everybody is like me. There are people that look to their pastors and religious leaders like they're looking unto God. The few religious leaders are a representation of God. Jesus turned water to wine. I'm drinking wine. Yet some pastors will say, oh, thou shalt not drink, even though the Bible says in excess. You see, the part of in excess, they removed it. The very first miracle Jesus did was he turned water into wine. So how did the same wine become a sin? Because too much of everything is bad. But pastors will not tell you that in excess. They will just tell you, do not drink. It's so interesting how we have found ourselves here. And it's really sad that nobody is thinking about these things or addressing it and focusing on the fact that it shouldn't even be in the first place. Nobody. Everyone just thinks, oh yeah. Look. This is not a podcast against religion, but it's just a podcast pleading for common sense. I do know common sense is not common, but please, come on. Find some. Even if it's just like an iota. Think for yourself and ask yourself, this thing I'm going to do, how is it helping me? Well, the lady in question might have dodged a bullet by that relationship failing. because clearly a man that goes by what the pastor says does not have a mind of his own, and such a person will not make a good spouse. Yeah, I really wish that is the case for this so-called lady. But the unfortunate part is now she has to start all over again. Which, I don't like to start all over again. And I do know that there are many people that share the same feeling as me. I do not. It's exhausting to get to the point of, hey, my name is blah, 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 blah. What is your name? What do you like to do? Because 5 years into a relationship, she has created a personality. She has created for herself an identity that works for this guy. So her dating someone else will now mean that she has to bring down that image she has created, that identity, destroy it, and create a new one. Just like when you're molding a pot, right? And you think, oh, this pot didn't take the shape that I wanted it to be. Let me change this pot to, let me see, a vase. You have to remold completely. And because of the way the human mind is, remolding for us is no fun. It's not just like a piece of Legos. It's mental. It's exhausting. It's going to take a while to remove this person from your memory. The same person that you have created like a future with. You have to remove them from parts of you. And I can tell you that after 5 years of dating, they have become a really strong part of you. Then you have to find yourself again and make yourself whole before you can venture into another relationship. With the way this whole thing is going, I'm thinking it's going to take about a year to snap out of it. If it's just dating, yeah, dating, whatever. But they already started planning a wedding. That is major. Even if she did find a better partner right now, the truth is it's going to take her a long time to realize that this is a better partner. I feel sorry for her. I really wish things had turned out better for her. But for people out there thinking, I'm going to go for premarital counseling at church, you never can tell what is going to be said at this session that is going to stick to your partner or stick to you. And you don't want to mar your own marriage even before it begins. That is what these sessions do. They're a crash course that could have taken months. They put it into 1 hour, just like saying that, okay, it's a tradition we have at church, let's just get over with. But this tradition is really, really, really dangerous. You don't understand the impact it could have on your partner or yourself. They could say one thing and you just cannot shake it out of your mind. Of course, there are things that people have said to me as far back as 20, 25 years ago, and I still remember them like it happened yesterday. Some of us have minds like that. So imagine the pastor saying something like, oh, for example, your husband is bald and he will only keep getting bald. Just an example, right? If I was someone that I thought in the beginning, well, his bald doesn't really matter. Now that the pastor has brought my attention back to it, every single day I see my husband, I'm going to see bald. Even though he was like that when I met him, but it's going to make the problem a lot bigger. It's going to like give me like too much. You know when you consider something is too much information? That's what I'm going to begin to feel. Like, now the pastor said to get more bald. Now he's a lot more bald. Now he's aging. You know, you have to be careful who you talk to about your future steps. The things you say to people, it might get stuck on you and it's really dangerous. Had these people gone to a real counselor, let me tell you the questions that they're going to have asked during a real counseling session. Who will be the biggest decision maker in the house? Let's say you as the husband, you have, say, the desire to, let's buy a house. The wife says, we can't afford it. Husband says, well, we'll send the kids to a public school for the first, say, 7 years of their lives to save money and build a house. And then when they get to high school, we'll make sure they graduate from a private school so that their journey from that point can be flawless. Wife says no. The husband goes ahead to do it regardless. Would the wife be okay with it? Okay, well, even though what your husband is doing is for the good of the family, are you going to be okay with it? This question is an example of what should be discussed at a church session. But I can tell you that that is not how this question will be addressed. I can tell you that a pastor will say, the man is the head of the household, as the Bible said. They don't understand that. Sometimes the head cannot function without the neck. There's a way African pastors and religious leaders demean a woman and make a woman, they shrink a woman to elevate a man. It's really common. You could have just, if I were a counselor, I could say something like, well, this time around, let your husband make the decision. Next time, if your husband decides, let the kids go to a public school for the first 7 years of their life. How about you pick the public school? At least give the woman a sense of how do I put it now? Give the woman a sense of being. Give the woman a reason to feel important, feel also like a decision maker. The man cannot just come in the house and say, hey, we are building a house. Hey, the kids are going to public school. Hey, they're going to that public school. All you need to do is just get them ready for school. The woman will feel useless in the house all the time. And the way a man is with one situation is the same way he is with multiple situations. It's impulsive for them to do that and say, oh yeah, I want to be in charge of this. My household is different, but an example of what could be out there. When I had the first baby, I was not ready to send him to school. You know, American system says they don't have to go to school until they're five, right? So I was thinking, well, I have a couple of years to spend with this baby before he starts school. My husband insists, you know, he's already 2 years old. Let him just go to school and begin to make friends, because during COVID, he hasn't had a lot of interactions. Due to COVID, he hasn't had a lot of interactions with other kids, and he wanted him to start, you know, building that relationship. And when my husband went out to find schools, he gave me an opportunity to choose the school the kid had to go. So yes, I also did feel like a decision maker in my son going to school. You know, if you can separate duties and roles, a woman is able to also feel important in the household. But in church, in mosque, in culture in general, a woman does not have a say. In fact, up to today, there are still families that feel a woman should not go to school at all or get quality education. She's still not entitled to have an equal opportunity with the males in the house. This is pretty sad. This is why I don't record during the day. It's so hard because I never get the level of silence that I want. So, anyways, I hope you'll forgive all of the background sound. So, all right. Another thing to consider when you're talking about having a premarital counseling, even if it's going to be at church, I really wish they had included these questions. The first question will be, who will be the biggest decision maker? The second question will be, will our extended families and friends be involved in our marriage? This is a good question for when you have a conflict. Who are we telling? Are we telling it to ourselves, or are we inviting other parties? Considering the fact that other parties may have, other parties might have opinions that are not necessarily safe. Considering their age, their experience, the kind of community they live in, the way someone in Africa thinks is not the same way someone abroad, like in a Western country, thinks. Okay, let's put that into consideration. We should also not forget that when people are giving advices, they talk from, they seem to project their own life onto other people, right? How are we going to resolve conflicts that are beyond us? You see, my husband and I talked about something. I said to him, report me to me, let me fix it, since only me can fix it. Reporting to my mom, reporting to anybody is not going to help. I'm not going to report you either because I want you to fix it. And we've been married, what, over 3 years now, and I can tell you that so far it has worked. I think I was in a family meeting and my mother was talking about, oh, Adeola never has fights with her husband. I laughed. I'm saying, you think I don't fight with a dude? I fight with a dude all the time. Like, not like anything major, but yes, we do have disagreements because we are from different backgrounds and country, and we in fact attend different churches. We have different experiences. I'm one for the, how do I put it now? I'm an extrovert. A little bit, yeah, sort of. He's an introvert. He does not even post his family on social media. He's like, nobody needs to know what I did today. Nobody needs to know I was on a trip. Nobody needs to know my kids are good looking. Nobody needs to know anything about me. But for someone like Dale Becker, I am posting. Like, forget about it. I am posting. Whether it concerns you or not, I'm posting. What I will not be posting is my very, very intimate family issues. I would not ever be talking about things like that online because I think people are going to give me unsolicited advice and I don't want it to stick with me. I don't want it to stick in my head because when it sticks, I cannot get it out. That's the reason why I don't tell people my problems. Like, at least I could ask them for, you know, if in a situation like this, what would you do? But I would not go ahead and tell them the whole story and say, hey, this happened, he said, I said, he did, I did. It kind of creates like a bias. And even when you're forgiving your spouse, your pastor won't forgive your spouse. Your family, your mom, your siblings will not forgive your spouse. Your friends will not forgive your spouse. Now you're not the one going ahead to say, please, we already talked about it, we settled it, please let it go. They cannot let it go. That's the reason why you do not discuss full details of your marriage problems with people. You can give people a hint here and there, but don't tell them everything that happened. So I went through his phone, I saw this, I saw that, I saw that. He said sorry, but you know, I'm still feeling bad about it. You're beginning to create like a crack in your marriage where other people are beginning to put their nose. They're going to begin to put their nose in it. And whatever happens from that is your problem. Another thing to consider is what roles are expected in marriage. Who's going to be the captain at all times? You know, people don't often think, okay, who's doing what? For example, who's picking the first destination for a holiday? We're going to have two holidays in a year. This is where we're having it, and this is where we're going to. You have one, I have one. If the husband is terrible at picking locations, of course the wife is happy to do it. But that is voluntary. Not that my husband, for example, will just look up a location that his friend said he went to and then take me there. What if I don't like it there? I like waterfall. I like water. I like to see the the ocean, I like to see the sea. I would love a cruise. I like slow and you know, I like to see nature. My husband likes walk. He likes dangerous things. He wants to go hiking. Why would I be on vacation and be hiking and getting sweaty? Why? He likes to jump off a plane. I don't want to die. I think the fastest and highest I can go is an hot air balloon. That is my maximum. He wants to do bungee jumping. Why am I bungee jumping? Or he wants to do, what's it called now? This deep diving that they do. What if the oxygen runs out? I'm going to die. I don't want to die. You know? But anyways, that is just an example of the things that could arise and slowly become a sort, like, it can become difficult and get heated over a number of years. Yeah, the first 2 years is okay. But by the time the wife is on, like, the fourth year of the marriage, she's thinking, why are you always picking our location? Why can't I have a say? And when your wife picks a location, research it. If you don't like it, give her an opportunity to come up with another one. This is what should be going on in marriage counseling. But all I'm hearing with church marriage counseling is, oh, the husband is the head. You have to pray. You have to be religious. You have to be this. You have to be that. In fact, you have to make sure you come for a prayer meeting. You have to... Let me drink more wine. I'm getting stressed out. I didn't have a marriage counseling, but like I said, I know people that have had some. Pastors don't often talk about whose responsibilities will be the chores and the children. Are we going to be doing 50-50 in the household? How are we going to balance it up? Are we going to be doing 70-30? You pay for this, I pay for that, or you're going to do this, I do that. You know? Yeah, so something that just came to mind. You know, all these people that abuse their spouses, do you think during the premarital counseling they might have mentioned something like, thou shalt not beat your wife, thou shalt not beat your husband? And if you do, this is the repercussion that comes with it, because I've realized that a lot of people that are in abusive marriages got married in churches. And such churches are the ones that make premarital counseling compulsory. So do you think if the pastor did tell the spouse, like, if you do hurt your spouse, this is the consequence that comes with your actions? Because I feel like there's no checks and balances anywhere. Everyone is just out there doing whatever and putting it under the disguise of religion or culture. The wife is now mine. I can do whatever I want to do with my wife. People abuse their wives a lot. I do know that wives abuse their husbands too, but because the men don't say anything, we really hear about stories like this. But I tell you for a fact that they are out there. So my question is, what for couples that did go to church for premarital counseling, what questions were you asked? How did it impact your marriage? Are you going to say, oh, because of this counseling that I had, it had made my marriage a lot better, and I can always make reference to that particular day? People don't even remember their own vows during their wedding ceremony. So I do want to believe that whatever you were told at the crash course marriage counseling, you probably forgot it like a year later. You know? So if this counseling is not making positive impact, as I have come to realize, why do it? At the risk of it destroying your relationship, what is the purpose behind it? When a non-licensed pastor talks about marriage that they do not qualify to speak on. So, I will be bringing on my friends to that have had some of my friends have had the pre-marriage counseling to share a little bit of the experience with me, and we can brainstorm and see what is the way forward, because I am not one to discuss problems and not look for a solution. In the beginning, I did mention if you are going to really have one, do it with a licensed professional or do not have one. Okay, I would rather I don't get any advice at all than get a bad advice. Don't you think that sounds fair? If you think otherwise, let me know. The email to reach me on is in my profile, and I will be back to complete this episode with my friends, and we are going to chat a little, you know, a little bit, just to get caught up on what's going on out there. And in the meantime, I'm gonna say we'll be right back. Love you.
Hope you like this episode. There is more randomness to come. Do not forget to share this channel. Thank you, and until next time, goodbye.